Hi everyone, this is Ian Schlackman here with my good friend and co-host, Reverend Annie Chambers. And it's been a while since we've done one of these podcasts, but we have a very special, very important show for you today. Given everything going on out there, especially with the governor, lieutenant governor, and now the attorney general in Virginia, you know, Reverend Chambers called me up and asked, you know, can we take some time? You know, I'm on the campaign trail with the Green Party running for president, but, you know, can we take some time to do a show on this? And I heard what she had to say, and I said, you know, wow, I mean, this really has to get out there. This is important stuff that I don't think people understand about the state of Virginia. So, you know, with that, I'll let... you know, Reverend, I never censor you. I'm never gonna censor you. I don't always agree, but I always want you to say what you have to say, because people need to know the perspective that you have, the history that you have, as someone that came from Virginia, as a young black woman at the time, in the civil rights movement. So I'll leave it there, and I'll let you share your thoughts about the current situation and the past and where it brings us today.
Well, it really. I just listened to it, and then I seen what was happening on television and how they were making a big thing and playing this up, and I consider it one dog against another dog.
So just to be clear, you're talking about...
Oh, I'm talking about the governors.
Right.
The situation that they talking about, he should step down, resign.
Mm-hmm.
And I this is the way I feel about the whole situation concerning the governor, concerning the lieutenant governor, and the
attorney general.
The attorney general.
Yeah.
If he has to step down, if they have to step down, then I think the whole legislature, all of Virginia legislators should step down. And I'll tell you why, as a black woman, as a black person in America. I was born and raised in Richmond, Virginia. One of the most racist places in the United States of America.
Mm.
And for them to dig this up and show this and make a big thing about this. If they want to go back and dig up everybody's yearbooks, past situations that have happened, and then they would not have any legislators in Virginia.
Right.
None. Because all of you got racist, prejudiced stuff in your background. Now, I know the lieutenant governor is not white, mm-hmm. So don't nobody get all upset and think I'm that dumb. I can see he's not white. So, but I'll talk about his part in just a few minutes also.
Mm-hmm.
But it was common thing that white people did blackface in Virginia. It was common thing that white people marched around the whole town openly with their cone heads looking selves Ku Klux Klans. Back then, that was the culture.
Wow.
He grew up. I don't know how old the governor is, but I know he's up in his 60s. And I'm 77, but I know he's up in his 60s or more. He might be in his 70s. But that was the culture naturally. And then I think for him to be in college, he was pretty old, even, you know, then. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about as far, I went back to 50s and 60s. And I can remember back that far, okay?
Right.
Really remember. I remember things further back, but really remember some the 50s and the 60s in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the norm for Virginia. Now, I don't know whether it was him or not, but I've heard things from other people in Virginia that feels that, you know, he have done some things, some good things toward black people, and have, and he's older, he's grown, he see the world different, because he probably was in his little white world at that time, little racist white world, and they thought it was okay for both him and the attorney general. Now, when it comes to the black lieutenant governor, I'm at this point, and I am tired of women. When you get mad or things don't go your way, then all of a sudden you was abused, or somebody, you know, sexually attacked you or molest you or whatever you want to call it. Because you don't set up and hug and kiss and do all the things and be girlfriend, boyfriend. What they did was private between the two of them. And she waited this long, even if he did it. She should have took action right then to deal with it. You see, because it's going to come a time for when women say that they've been attacked or whatever. It's people really not going to be believing us. And as a black woman knows what it feels like to be raped. Knows what it really feels for a woman, even if it wasn't black. That is a horrible feeling for a woman to have.
Yeah.
Now, we should be more respectful and care more about ourselves as females than to accuse somebody. If you having oral sex, hard to get abused. Come on, let's just be truthful. I've said this more than one time, even when it was black on black with Mike Tyson. You don't get, you know, we need to stop these things. We just need to, it's got to come to a point where this, just because I'm a female and I point my finger. See, that was what happened to black men years ago. White women would say a black man looked at her or said something to her. If he didn't like what, she didn't like him, or she just wanted attention. You see, we got to stop this, lady. We got to stop this. Now black women are becoming a part of this pattern. And this cannot happen. Now, if they had a relationship and it went bad, deal with it in that context. Don't say that man did that to you. You see, so Virginia, and for all the Democrats and Republicans and anybody else that's calling for the governor to step down in Virginia, look at yourself. And I'm not talking about black people now, because you know, because we were racist against ourselves at a point too. We dealt with color structure. We dealt with who was light and who was dark. And the lighter you was, the closer to the front you got, even in your public school systems. So, see, these are the things that, now, if we're going to talk about racism, discrimination, we got to put it all on the table, Ian.
Well, you know, I was hoping you could give a little bit of sense to the audience. A lot of people that listen to this podcast are people that are familiar with, like, Democratic Socialists of America, and they're younger, and they're millennials.
Right.
And they don't necessarily know what it means. I mean, I think that there's a thought, you have younger people in the state legislature of Virginia, like Lee Carter.
Right.
Socialist his whole life, military background.
Right.
You know, he's always been integrated. I know sounds weird to say, but he's my age. He's never known a world where you didn't have an option. So what I'd like you to maybe just take us back to what it was like for you as an elementary school, as a middle school student.
As a child in Virginia. And it was only, first I was in a four-room school. Then they built a school. I remember this incident clear as it was the day. They built George Washington Carver, which was a nice big school for black children to go to.
And this is Richmond, Virginia.
In Richmond, Virginia.
Right, I think so.
Okay?
Yeah.
George Washington Carver. But we had to just go across this. It wasn't even a block. Just about almost a half a block. We had to go across this road.
Okay.
To get to George Washington Carver from where we live at. Every day, white people would let their children stand out while we trying to get across that little stretch of road and throw rocks and bricks at us, and they'd stand out there and laugh.
The kids would laugh?
No, the parents would laugh.
The parents would laugh.
These were grown people, and they'd laugh. They'd holler, "Get that nigga, get him!" That's the word they use.
That's the parents to the kids.
Yes, get him! Oh, you got that one! Ha ha! They would hit us and throw bricks. So one day I just got fed up, and I picked up a piece of coal and threw it, and it hit one of the white girls in the head, but she started bleeding.
Wow!
And we had to run, because they really wanted to, my father had to send me up here for the whole summer in Baltimore.
Up to Baltimore, Maryland.
Up to my aunt.
For a summer.
For a whole summer.
Because they were after you.
Because they were after
me. Now, how old were you at the time?
That happened when I was about 8 years old.
So they were out for blood.
Yes.
For an eight-year-old.
Oh, I was 8 years old. My father had to send me away up here. So when school opened again.
An eight-year-old.
And I came back home to go to school. They sicked the dogs on us. They had it, and this particular day.
Were the dogs going after, like, would they see your family and attack you? Or was
any black children.
God damn.
Any black children. It was groups of us, and they would let the dogs go and laugh.
God damn.
And this dog, Rain, this great big old dog, what did John say it was? A German Shepherd, my brother Joe said it was a German Shepherd. But anyway, this dog was huge. He jumped on me and knocked me down.
Damn.
He knocked me down. And he had me on the ground, and my brothers and them were fighting. It was John, Dennis, Waverly, and Joe. And Melvin wasn't with us that particular day, but it was John, Dennis, Waverly, and Joe. And they were trying to get the dog off me. The other children were running to get away from dogs. My brother John, they couldn't get the dog. The dog had me. And my brother John reached down and grabbed the dog's neck with his teeth.
He bit the dog to death. He bit the dog's jugular. Bit the dog's neck.
He bit that dog to death.
Now, was there blood everywhere?
Blood was everywhere, but my brother held on to the dog.
That's a mess. Jeez.
And when the dog died, that woman found out her dog was dead. She was hollering, "Oh, they killed him! They killed him! Kill him, nigga! Kill him!"
The white woman came and was crying because her dog died. Even though she sicked the dog on you.
She sicked the dog on us.
So when the dog was killed, because the dog was taking you, an eight-year-old,
I don't know what. It was a gang of people running, but it was one old white man he ran out with his shotgun and told us to get in the back of his pickup truck. Because, see, we had to go up the hill to get to where we live at. And put us in the back of that pickup truck. and carried us all the way up the hill to Ann Arbor.
And why did he need the shotgun? What was going on out there?
It was all these people. These people was really going to hurt us.
So when you...
He was
so
saying, don't touch them damn
When
children.
Your brother killed the dog, the other white people in the neighborhood came out.
They come running out.
And they were... They wanted to attack you?
I don't know what the... There's going to beat the hell out of us like they did several groups of children before.
Damn.
But this man put us on his truck and drove us up the hill to my father. And from then on, we could not walk to school. Every day, my daddy used to drive us to school. We stand there and wait for him to come back and get us.
Wow.
That was the whole history of us going to elementary school in Richmond. And then finally my daddy had taken me out of elementary school and put me into St. Philip's, which was the school, the Catholic black school. Because, see, Catholics were segregated too.
The Catholic schools were segregated?
Oh, yeah, Catholics were very segregated.
I knew the public schools were segregated. I just didn't think about the Catholic schools.
Catholic schools were segregated too. Wow. St. Philip's went from grade 1 all the way through high school. If you was a Catholic and you wanted to go, your child would go to Catholic school.
So if you were black and Catholic, you go there?
Yeah, you couldn't go to none of the other schools.
Now, were there any white kids on campus, or was it completely segregated school?
No white children. You couldn't go into the white Catholic church.
You had separate churches, even Catholic churches.
You couldn't go into the white Catholic church, no. Not unless you were doing work in it.
Wow.
See, segregation is a thing that America has never really taken a real look at. People like to keep on sweeping. That's why you hear me say about those statues, Ian.
Yeah.
I wanted them statues to be around so the history could be told.
I remember you.
And the young people could see.
Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind. But I want my grandchildren, and I want all the young black children, know who Robert E. Lee was. Know who all these other racist people was.
You know, I think, speaking as a white person, I think we all need to know this history.
Because yes, everybody should know it. But see, if it's not there, it's erased.
Right.
And that's a part of my history. Will be tear that statue down. And that's a part of my history erased, right?
But I mean
all of America.
No, I think it's something we all need to reflect on, because
we all need to know exactly what black people went through in this country.
Yeah.
And need that history. See, they don't know they was benefiting the racist fools that was told the statues that they were benefiting them. Because now when you talk to young millennials about racism, they don't, can't nobody do that. When there were times in, we couldn't even go in a store. Tall Hammers, Rosemont, all those places in Virginia, we couldn't walk in that store and buy anything. Just like right here where we sit here in Baltimore.
Hmm.
Macy's and all of those places, we couldn't go in there.
Wow.
We could not.
You see, but this is where it gets twisted. Because I know people that were alive back then that were socialist, that were part of the sit-ins.
Right.
So it makes people think, especially younger socialists that are interested in this, mm-hmm. that you had a choice back then.
What was a choice? No.
But that individual, that man with the shotgun who came and saved you.
Right.
He had a shotgun in his hand because he knew he would get killed by that mob.
Right.
Just like you poor elementary school students would get killed.
And he took his life. He put his life on the line for us.
It's not like you could just sit down and risk arrest. You're risking your life if you stand up.
He stood, and then he had to go back to that community to live.
God damn.
He had to go back. It wasn't like he was going to go live somewhere else.
That's right.
He went back to that very community to live.
Damn.
He had to go back to that community. He had to live with those people. So he sacrificed a lot.
But what do you think of the folks that, if you're sitting on the sidelines at this point, I mean, do you think it's so ingrained in the culture that every white person in the neighborhood was doing it? Or do you think that
it was so ingrained in the culture that the majority, not, I won't never say every, because then I would have to include, and I never knew his name. I'm sure he knew my father, because my father hugged him, and they talked, you know, they used to talk. I never really knew the man's name, but it was ingrained, even in the little children. Because, see, children don't know anything about segregation.
Right.
If you put a black child and a white child together, or Indian child or whatever,
right,
these children will play.
Right.
These children don't know that.
Right.
Growing up. But if you have, if you constantly teaching your child.
Right.
And this constantly happens, then your child think that is what's supposed to happen. I remember living up on Fayette Street, further up, way up Fayette Street.
In Baltimore,
Street,
yeah.
In Baltimore. And we were the only black family up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always cooked and stuff. And it used to be this family of children that loved, little white children, that would love to come to my house and play and stuff. And one of the other neighbors said to their mother, "Why is you letting them go up there where those niggas at?"
Damn.
And she would say, "They just children." So it was okay long as they were children.
Right.
Playing together. She didn't care, because basically she didn't want to feed them and take care of them no way. She stayed, you know, drunk or whatever. So she really didn't care.
Yeah.
About it. And so this child, and one of them is, both of them turned out to be policemen, but one of them is not a police officer anymore, but the other one is. Anyway, they were little. And somebody else said something to him about one of my sons, and he said, and he meant no harm. It was a word that he thought was okay to you. He said, "Yeah, but Billy is a good old nigga."
Damn.
He didn't know no different.
Damn.
Because those are the words he hears.
Yeah.
You know, those were the words
he was even
hears.
Trying to use the word good.
Yeah.
He even thought he could.
Yeah,
he could
even
make
my,
it. Yeah.
Till the day my son is dead and gone. But up until, he always considered him his best friend.
Really?
That was his best buddy, his best friend, his brother.
My God.
When my son John and his brother were good friends, my youngest son and his other, they were good. They stayed real close to us all the time. And then they had a daughter named Martha, and Martha was in love. She thought my son Billy was the greatest thing in the world. And finally, when their father found out, they growed up to be teenagers and stuff. And he said to me, "Well, I guess I'm gonna get one in my family after all." You know,
God.
But that was, you know.
Wow.
I'm telling you that racism and is so real. Again, get back to the governor.
Right.
And we won't talk about the college.
Right.
You could just walk by that college, and the college kids would throw things out at us. They would call us names.
Wow.
Because they thought it was okay. That was the culture. That was what they were raised in. Now, I will say this. I don't know him. Never talked to the man. Really never seen him till I seen him on TV.
The governor.
Yeah. Never, don't know. But it could have been a change in him. It could be a change. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really, really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do know, I thought I turned this thing off. It really really,
go ahead, Reverend.
Really, it's a change. Mm-hmm. Could be a change in him. Just like the Attorney General, he just came out and said, well, I did cover my face. He may have thought it was just to be a rapper. Well, he never seen the white rappers. He could have been a white rapper. Look out. And that ain't been that long ago. Rapping ain't been out all that long now.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So, you understand that we have to, I would work with him. I would trust him being open more than I would trust Donald Trump, who's going to say he never did it, but he did. Because they wouldn't even rent to white people. I mean, black people.
Right, that's right.
They wouldn't even, all they wanted you to do was clean up or whatever. And then didn't really want to pay you a decent salary for doing that.
Right.
So, see, all of the legislators, all of the whole Democratic Party, all of the Republican Party need to shut up and let Virginia deal with Virginia. Now, the NAACP, you ain't got nothing else to fight but put, he did blackface, get rid of him. What about all the other stuff going on in Virginia that you could really speak up on? All the injustice that's happening. All the racism that's going on. All the police brutality that's still going on to black people in Virginia.
Right
now, that you can't speak up on. You want to speak up on something somebody did at least, what, 35, 50 years ago.
What do you think? We do have to wrap up, but what do you think? I mean, the Black Caucus of Virginia has said he should go. And they're basically, the argument is, well, the lieutenant governor is black and he'd do a better job. So, I mean, what, I know you deal with the Black Caucus here in Maryland, and you have some very strong words about that.
Well, I tell you what.
What do you think about that attitude?
We got a lousy ass governor. Well, I don't say it now.
No, you could curse on the show.
We got a lousy governor.
Yeah.
Right here in Maryland. But if we got that man there, and he's black, that we got for a lieutenant governor,
that's right.
I'd be hollering, hell no! Hell no! We don't want him. So, you know, I don't know whether the black lieutenant governor be better or whatever. I just know that if you and I don't always agree,
mm-hmm.
but we got a good understanding of what our politics are.
Yeah.
So we were running mates.
Yeah.
And so if I was running for lieutenant governor and you were running for governor at the time.
Right.
And we, if something would have happened, you couldn't have been governor. That meant I would have been lieutenant governor. So that means we must have some of the same ideas and policies.
I completely agree. Yeah.
So that's the way I look at that.
Right.
That he would have the same ideas and policy as the governor that they got right now.
And they're both pretty moderate.
You know, right.
They're not socialist, they're not even progressive.
Right. So
I guess
but it's a politic thing, and it's a shame that they're using racism in the politics.
I see.
Well, they've been doing it, but you know, that they would come at it another way. See, I'm convinced that the two parties, they work together to keep the working class down.
Yes. I mean, that's something we could all agree on.
That's
I think a lot of people listening to the show are going to agree to that.
Third party.
Yeah.
We need a third. That's why I work hard, you know, to promote the Green Party.
Mm-hmm.
We need a third party system in this country.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at there for this particular special episode. I really appreciate you listening. Please feel free to share your thoughts with us. And, you know, thanks for listening. And please subscribe to the podcast, as we will have more out very, very soon. All right. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.